Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do, and you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boat, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV. Ragging up from the river. Cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl, she's a bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Y'all, this is Miss Irresistible giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio. The Guillotine Scene, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Drip on you, all this bread gotta spread on you. I said all this bread I'ma spread on you. Hey, all right, looking all day, tryna holler all night. Just give me the word and stay at night with a bottle of the juice.
Question on a Monday, come through Tuesday if you with it.
If you with it, babe.
We can start hopping on a Wednesday, Thursday, fall back, you can get it. But we can do it on a Friday,
hey.
And Saturday we can finish,
hey.
Rest on Sunday. But I'ma keep it juicy, juicy, juicy. I'ma keep it juicy, juicy. I'm just saying, I'ma keep it juicy.
Do it, I don't mind more. I be trying to hurry up and finish.
just so we can get to the encore.
Yeah.
Love is first sight, I'm an Insta fan. I think I like Ed Pink on your Instagram. Any so juicy, call it juicy fruit. Say fucking on my cheek.
That's too much juice.
What tonight's looking like, I'll come through. Good vibes, only trying to vibe with you. All that good, you deserve some good too. I said all that good, you deserve some good too.
Question on a Monday, come through Tuesday if you with it.
If you with it, babe.
We can start hopping on a Wednesday. Thursday, fall back, you can get it. Ay. Or we can do it on a Friday.
Ay.
And Saturday, we can finish.
Ay.
Rest on Sunday. But I'ma keep it juicy. 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 I'ma keep it juicy. Juicy. I'm just saying. I'ma keep it juicy, juicy. I'm just saying. I'ma keep it juicy.
Daddy, what you wearing tonight?
Shit, I ain't even decided yet.
I think I'm gonna wear my Balenciaga shoes with my Balenciaga bag.
Ooh, kill him.
Maybe some Versace just to switch it up a little bit, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, what it is, man. This your man King Eric, the media assassin. You're now tuned in to episode 379 of Off the Cuff Radio. We on the verge of hitting that 400 marathon real soon. Sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing. We got the Da Vinci Level Up Instagram page going. Sponsored by Jesse's Boutique. Sponsored by Core Financial. Buddy Boy Entertainment. As well as Screwball Radio. You can catch that every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, 8 Central Time. And big shout out to my co-hosts in Spirit Team Match with the Facts, LR the Sandman, and Candace Cooper. And tonight's show is a dope one right here. That jam you just heard was juicy, courtesy of my guest of the hour right here. Now, I don't know if this is him or not. I'm going to roll the dice on here. But nevertheless, to talk about up-and-coming projects, to give us a background history of where he came from and where he's going production-wise, rapping-wise, I'm going to take a risk here. We got S. Fresh in the building, y'all.
Yep, yep. Hey, what's up?
What's good, man? I had to make sure that I didn't know it was you or not, so I had to make sure my intro was a bit calculated.
Right. Yeah, it's me. That's Fresh.
Yes, sir, man. Welcome to the show, brother. Welcome to the show, man. How are you doing tonight, man?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. Been getting things together, making history happen.
Yes, indeed, man. So tell us what's been happening. Like, what any new projects you have in the work coming out for 2021?
Oh, yeah, I'm working with my homeboy, Scam Man. You know, he been in the game for quite some time. He was, you know, rocking with the 3-6 Hitting Ties Camp, Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I recently linked up with him within the last couple of years. We've been doing quite a number of projects together, but this one we got coming out, you know, it's going to be hot.
Definitely, man. And working with Scam Man, I mean, that's a solid brother right there. Big birthday shout to him and MC Mac. What was it like working with those guys, and how did it fuel your creativity?
Oh, it kind of works perfect, you know what I'm saying? Because I always grew up, you know, I grew up listening to, you know, Memphis music. I don't know how I got, you know, hip to them. Mostly in high school, you know, back in 2003, rolling high school, just listening to old school 3-6 Mafia, 8-Ball, MJG, you know, stuff like that. And then I figured, you know, I made my production kind of like, you know, saying I based my production off of that. And a couple more, you know, inspired people. But, you know, for the most part, you know, everybody says I got like that Memphis bounce.
Yeah,
so
that,
working
that
with
sound,
them,
man,
it's like,
that,
you know, saying that's really nothing.
Yeah, it's that classic Southern regional sound from the 90s, because you could tell what was Memphis and what was Atlanta and what was Texas. That was what was beautiful about that period. Like, everybody had their own signature sound.
Exactly.
And now, that you were going into musical inspiration, 3-6 Mafia played a key role in that. And to get our audience up to peer about who you are, where are you originally from, man, and how'd you get started?
Oh, I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
So, you know, they got, you know, a whole bunch of, like, very, you know, talented artists out here. And, you know, I feel that they kind of helped in the creation of the West Coast sound, you know. They got Zapp and Rogers, you know, Lakeside, all of them.
Yeah, man, people really sleep on the Ohio musical landscape. Like, it has a rich history.
Right. I think, man, it's crazy. It's sad, though. It's like, you know, Ohio is sleeping on Ohio's history. They for real, they try to sound like whatever's hot right now. I'm like, man, you know, we got to start making our own path, like pave your own way. You don't want to sound like the next man. And that's what, and really, that's what everybody's trying to do right now, trying to sound like the next man.
Yeah, I think what happened with that situation is people just go by what's easy to profit, because creating something from scratch takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of time. So people figure they can just go on to the next thing, just copy the next thing for the bag.
Right. I know, you know, which is kind of sad, because it's kind of like killing, like, it's killing the lust for music. Like, I always like to hear the new, something new, you know?
Exactly, because that's what keeps that creativity going. That's what fuels creativity, is like when you start seeing people with their own signature sound, you looking at it like, man. It's like, say, for example, you have DJ Paul and these used to say they produced Tear the Club Up. Then you had UGK. They produced Murder. Like, all those signature sounds, it was distinctive. And they were like, man, I could just step it up. Like, this, what these guys are doing.
Exactly. That's what I, you know, what really got me into music was, you know, my little brother. He always listened to rap. He rapped and stuff. I was trying to help him jumpstart his career, because, like, I know I wasn't a rapper. But, you know, I played in the high school orchestra. So, you know, I kind of knew about music theory and all that stuff. So I started listening, getting inspired, trying to figure out how to get, you know, make the beats, how the creation process went. In about 2003, like right after high school, that's when I started to try to take full effect on a music career.
Now, of course, every producer, they have their top five albums that kind of like influence them to create a sound or be innovative. Like, what were your top five albums? It could be any genre.
Oh, any genre? Oh, well, I know one of my top five was that 3-6 Mafia, When the Smoke Clears, 66-61. That was, you know, a major influence to me. then I liked Outkast. There's a couple of them, like that Sankonia and Aquemini. And Lil Jon, the Crunk Juice. I love the albums and that on repeat. and then my another one is I forgot the name of that album though, but I know it's Do or Die. But I listen to them heavy too though.
The first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that first Do or Die album with the head, Do You Want to Ride on the Chevy?
Yeah. I always have them, all of them, just on repeat, you know, while I'm driving around. Just trying to find something else or something new that I can tweak within my style.
Now, in trying to find your style, man, like, what was the key to really finding that signature style without really sounding like somebody else? Like, you had to do a lot of observing and studying.
Yeah, it was a lot of observing, listening to who you like, and not trying to imitate them, but just trying to. Trying to like add them and add it together, build, you know, this plus that equals a whole different, you know what I'm saying, mood, a whole different feel. Then I try to throw my like little back, you know, my musical background in there. After that, it's just you know what I'm saying, magic. a whole bunch of just, you know, whatever happened, it sounds good to me. I'm like, okay, it sounds good to me, so I'm going to put it out there. Hopefully, you know, the audience like it, but overall, if I like it, it's good.
Now, in producing, man, there's a lot of science that go behind working with it, like working with artists and finding out their style. Like, what is one of the key elements and making sure that a track that you work with an artist is going to be a slapper or it's going to be hot? Like, what are some of the key ingredients that you look for?
Like, I know communication is key to me. I talk to them, you know, and I send them like little snippets and like little pieces of the beat where I got so far together. Like, how you feeling on that? They tell me like, oh, I like this, but could you add this? Or, you know, they tell me like, or if they got like a feel or a mood to the song that they want, they relay that to me, and I try to just like, you know, get into that groove, like, you know, feel the emotion of what they want, you know, that song to feel like, sound like.
And this is being that we're living in the current different stage and era right now, is there still a key importance of being in the studio with that artist?
I don't think it's as important now, yeah, because you've got, you know, video chats and whatnot. But to me, I would love to rather have them in the studio at the same time I make the beat, because then it'll make the workflow faster.
Right, because
right.
Now, it can get pulled off in a lot of ways, like, but the sound got to be technically, sonically sharp for it to really pull it off. But it's better to have somebody in the studio with you, because you could tell them how the song structure can go and how this bar can go. It's easier that way. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally, 100%. Yeah, it definitely makes everything fluent because, like that's exactly how when I started out. We used to have my little cousins and everybody. We sit in the studio. I start a little something. They say, no, go take it like this, make it like that, all right? So we change it up till we like it, and it's perfection. I love it.
And see, what I like about having producers on the show is that we get to see the creative insight and the vision behind what you put on the track, because it's like composing them like a mini film, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, when you're doing albums, it's kind of like you're trying to get the concept of the film together. Do you sometimes approach that with that mindset?
Yeah. As soon as, especially like if they tell me like what title the whole album is, that gives you like a theme to work around. Like, say, you know, like Scanlan when he did his last album. You know, I was like, all right, I'm gonna work around how the album's supposed to feel, how it's supposed to sound, you know, Death Awaits. So I'm thinking, you know, saying like a gritty, you know, neat post-apocalyptic, you know, saying type beats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just definitely helps.
Yeah, cause it's like you got to pretty much get that supporting cast as well. When you get that right supporting cast, it all can flow together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And looking at some of your resume of some of the people you work with, one of the most noteworthy people on your catalog was working with Rick Ross. Like, how do you make that connection happen?
Well, I mean, I got super lucky with that. Just, I can't even lie, like, I never got the chance to talk to him. It was just, you know, a couple of friends, they just said, hey, we about to send a track to them, and then blah, 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 something happened, and then I heard, you know, saying the beat on, you know, saying on a Rick Ross album, I'm like, okay, all right, well, it was a mixtape. I wish it was an album, though.
Yeah, that joint did sound, it sound pretty professional, too, because it kind of gave me like a, y'all had like a kind of a Gotham City type vibe to that joint.
I mean, so I've been working on my craft for a little bit, you know, so I just, you know, so, but like I said, I throw it out there. If I like it, I'm hoping people love it. So I feel I'm like, you know, I can't throw out nothing that I feel that is weak.
I think that's what we have is, you know, creatives, is that sometimes you could be your own worst critic, because when somebody could look at it and sound as hot to them, you look at it like, man, this shit is whack. I don't want to do it. A lot of, who knows, man, I'll probably say this, man. You probably got a lot of throwaways that probably sound better than most niggas' hottest stuff.
That could be, man. Like, I'm still thinking, like, I'm looking way back. I'm like, how did Laffy Taffy become a number one hit? But, you know, I'm like, hey, someone liked it, so everybody loved it.
Yeah, I think what happened was we started getting into the era of simplicity, because if you really look at how that joint was even made, and along with some of the music then, they were mostly made off of MySpace or Fruity Loops and stuff like that. They ain't even have access to the big studios for one.
Right. But I mean, don't get me wrong, just not about the equipment. Sometimes it's not about the equipment, but it's all about the person using it. Like me, I personally use FL Studio 20, and the workflow to me is like way smoother than using like Pro Tools or Logic Pro or Ableton Live. Like I try to use like a keyboard. I have like this little Triton, and it was rough. I made some beats, but it was just like, you know, it wasn't my thing. It wasn't, you know, saying vibing with me. So I try to go to different outlets.
And you know what's crazy is it looks simple, but it's not simple at all. I mean, I don't know if anybody remember, but any of the audience is listening. I know y'all remember the movie Hustle and Flow where DJ found that little piano and he was playing with it. And he made it like you could just transition that easy and go make a high beat. It's nothing like that at all, man. That thing is challenging.
Right. Man. Thing is, I was self-taught. You know, I taught myself how to use all the stuff I use now. I wish, you know, saying I knew about, you know, YouTube or, you know, some type of, like, classes or something to help me get where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. But then again, when you're self-taught, sometimes that you could look at it like that's you being the better student.
Right.
Because I don't know, I don't recall a lot of people even looking at classical music as being an influence. Because we always dismiss classical music as being, you know, something that a lot of white people just listen to. But that's, Beethoven has some sharp shit.
Hey, right. I mean, they really, classical music, it's really, they got everything in there. Drama, you know what I'm saying, intensities, like all the moves and the dynamics of what you would want to hear on a rap beat. Like, I could sample that, make that, you know what I'm saying, sound hot.
Shoot, Beethoven, Mozart, they were some of the coldest musicians ever.
Exactly. I mean, it was like when I was in the orchestra, the high school orchestra, that stuff was hard to play for real too. Like all the the notation, the slurs, the way you got to hit the dynamics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was like real life challenging.
And not to mention, speaking of challenges, like, in terms of the way this game is changing, like, what do you feel is, like, your biggest challenge in, when it comes to crafting beats and staying, you know, current with what's going on?
Me, personally, auto-tune. I don't know, man. I haven't still really dealt with auto-tune. Like, people, you know, trying to say, hey, I want that auto-tune in my voice, you know, make me sing songy. I was like, some people, they overdo it. I'm like, man, I don't think you need it on every song. I don't think people need it in the first place, for real. But, hey, you know, I'm trying to get with the times. So I'll keep that part of my opinion to myself.
And you know, the cool part is a lot of people that say they need it don't even need it at all. Even T-Pain, he sound pretty good without it.
Right, exactly. They just, you know, and then new rappers, I think they just, you know, they feel like that's the key to everything. I don't know. I think it's an over process. It's time for you to, you know, find your own style.
And not to mention, the only one we could give the pass to is the originator, which is Roger Troutman. God rest him dead. He created
right.
All that, so. And he sounded fly doing it, so. These new dudes got to go. They got to follow up with it.
Right. Oh,
so now
we going into
how the sound is evolving. And I want to ask you, do you see the culture evolving or do you see it devolving? Like, sonically, MCing-wise, like, do you see any improvement?
Production-wise, I hear the improvement.
Mm-hmm.
MC-wise, I mean, I can't, to be honest, I can't even really tell any MC apart for the most part. You know, They all sound, like, sonically they sound the same. They got the same kind of, like, it started with the Migos. After that, everybody sounds, they want to sound like the Migos. You can barely tell somebody apart unless you actually watching the video or something. I gotta give it up though. To, like 21 Savage. He, you know, he sounds different to me.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it kind of like escalated off, man. Because sounding like the next man, we know we both come for that time where you will really catch wreck if you try to sound like somebody else.
Right.
They took the craftsmanship serious.
Black, like, man, you hear somebody trying to rap like you, you like, hey, you know, you get them in check, like, hey, this is me. This is my lane.
Man,
that's what I miss.
They used to get their ass beat just for stealing a bar. These cats today is just, man, they stealing verses and hooks and the whole songs, and they still dapping each other up at the club and everything, like, everything cool. Like, hey, that's my line. That's your line. I'm like, this is weird.
You're like, yeah, I just borrowed it, man. It was hot, so, you know, I'm like, nah, that's not cool, man.
Yeah, because it was like I was saying, it's like, you hear somebody use your line on the radio, and you'll be like, what the fuck? Turn that again, we gotta call and see that man. Now they look at it like, they don't get no props about it. They don't get no compensation about it. They're like, oh, cool, he used my line. That's a good look for me. I don't get more clout. I'm like, wow, the game really, it became more passive-aggressive to hear.
Right. And people beefing over dumb stuff, you know. It's like, it's not even real beef no more. Like Tekashi 6ix9ine, I think he's trying to find relativity, you know what I'm saying? He know that his career is really over with. You know what I'm saying? You snitch. You broke the, you know what I'm saying, the unspoken law. You snitching on people. So, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're trying to go around beefing with Meek Mill and all them. So I'm like, yo, you stop. You're looking for clout.
And y'all think what the problem is that we don't have the... These people ain't really getting disciplined like that. They're not really getting spanked. Because... Hate to go back to the old era, but if you go back to the old era, if you do any, like, one-third of the shenanigans that these guys do, they would discipline you, or they would see you.
Right.
You know, they in the safety net of their home. They're behind their tablet, behind all these bodyguards and stuff, so they feel they could say or do whatever they want. And even when you see it, even the disc records have changed, too, because, man, the dead is not even respected no more, which is wild to me.
Right. Mm. They just said they don't care about nothing no more. Nothing's off limits.
Dead. Like it used to be Mano y Mano, and you know they used to leave the kids and the women alone. Now it's the women, the kids, the grandmother, the dead homie, everybody catching smoke.
Right.
It's
like,
wild.
Man, bro. I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, damn, okay, no mercy. That's true savage, I guess.
And do you feel that social media played a key role in why you see these behaviors being more extreme than ever before?
Oh, most definitely, man. Like, you know, everybody could be a keyboard gangster now. You know, you can just talk however you want to somebody, you ain't gonna get dealt with or nothing, you know. They feel like, oh man, he all the way out here, so he ain't gonna come out and see me. So you can talk all that shit if you want.
And on top of that, see, they got so much access to the internet real quick. They could Google the flight. They'd be like, oh, he'd be here 7 hours. By the time he dropped down, I'm out of here.
Right. Man, yeah. People, yeah, they just—it's just sad nowadays. Like half the game ain't even real no more. You just, you know, saying a whole bunch of what do you call them? People that blew up off of social media, and now people, you know, the listeners following them, thinking that, you know, they hard or something. I'm like, nah, this is probably like your next door neighbor, you know, saying chilling up in his house all day and portraying that he thinks.
And we and the reason why we ask these questions a lot about him training with social media because it plays a key role in how the game then changed. I mean, for the pros and the cons, that you're one of the pros is, you know, it's easier to network with people and different artists. But for the most part, as you being a producer is, what are some of the cons that you feel that came with it?
Now, I think, record label submissions are saturated, super saturated. I try to, earlier I try to, submit some demos. Like, are we not, accepting any submissions or solicitations? We got enough. We got our quota. I'm like, dang. I thought that was like about 100, labels or music supervisors, stuff like that. Everybody wants to be a producer now, and I heard half the stuff that's on YouTube is it's trash. It's terrible. So, saturation is a big problem. It's a real issue.
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me is I think we came a society where people that participate still get rewarded. But now, it used to be a time where you had to pretty much be a master of your craftsmanship. And before you even step into the ring and you even call yourself a producer or a rapper or engineer or whatever, or even the nicest on the court, now you're getting the reward just for participating, just for showing up.
Right. It's like, so we got to pat the slow kid on the head like, yep, you did it.
He just came. He just showed up with his jersey on. So yeah, he get a reward just for showing up. It's wild to me, man, because you kind of feel that kind of waters down the creativity within not only music but the world. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make sure the music was working. Everything good now. We still on the air. Got my man S Fresh in the building. Episode 3679. Call number is 516-531-9596. If you want to call and chop it up or leave a shout out, we on the live and direct. But yeah, man, it's just that we living in changing times, and we going with the slogan of adapting or perishing. You're doing a great job of adapting, though, but you're still putting the supply and demand for a lot of your production. And with what's going on with the day, like, what keeps you motivated to keep on partaking? Because I've seen a lot of niggas, they just give up, or they can't keep up with the times, or they get burned out and frustrated. But, like, what keeps you going?
Just networking, I love trying to kind of connect to a new person a day. I got real lucky on linking up with Scan Man, MC Mac. I'm like, man, if I can link with them, I can, link with other people. Now I'm trying to get like a bucket list, trying to find like people who I always wanted to collab with, see if I can, make it happen. That's my goal every day.
People don't understand, like, that's the good part about social media, because back in the day when you had to literally travel state to state just to get a collab, and that was a hassle, man. So social media pretty much helped us in a lot of ways to make easier connections without spending a lot of gas and airplane money.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was around when, we had to do the travel thing. It wasn't fun. It wasn't cheap.
Oh, yeah. Tell them about, we got to give our audience a visual how this stuff was back then. Like, man, tell them how we had to literally travel in different hoods just to get collabs.
Oh, man, yeah. Like I said, I'm from Dayton. So I started off small. I went to Cincinnati trying to find, you know, hot rappers there. So that was like a 45-minute trip. Just talking and talking, networking, trying to find the hottest clubs, where the hottest rappers be, trying to get numbers, network. Then I'm, you know, we deal with that. Try to go even further. I went, you know, Kentucky, Indiana. It's been hours of travel still trying to find the hottest clubs, hottest rappers. At the end, I mean, it was hard, but it was worth it. It was fun. It was cool. You get your name out there, you know, little by little.
Yeah, man. And keep in mind, this was around the 90s and the early 2000s where you had to get your record popping at a club just so people could pretty much identify with who you are, because it's different. It was totally different from New York, because New York, they was on that pass me a demo type stuff. But in down south and certain parts of the Midwest, you had to take your record to a club and make it stand out.
Right. Like, you know, the DJ playing right quick, and everybody stopping, you know, saying, look around, like they confused. They're up in trash. I'm like, nope, this ain't it, son. That happened to me, like, too many times.
And keep in mind, brother, you rolling the dice. Like, you spending thousands on travel and hotel space just to get that one record played in. And for them to even, sometimes they won't even listen to it.
Yep. I have that too, man. That's the most disappointing, you know, point thing. I'm like, here, bro, you know what I'm saying? Try listening to this, man. You know, I ain't got time for this shit. Oh, it's something. I'm like, damn, okay. You don't have to be aggressive like that, but all right. Or sometimes money really helps the situation. You're like, hey, man, pass them on like a $50. So play this right quick.
Yeah, they pay all. You got to, you know, as we would say, we got to butter their bread up a little bit.
Right. Make it worth their while.
Get some steak and filet mignon with a $100 gift card or something.
Right, man. I know in my city, I got lucky, you know what I'm saying? One of my friends, he was a DJ. You know, he was with the Core DJs, too. His name is DJ Skano.
So, let me tell y'all youngins, man, y'all have it easy compared to how we had it, man. All y'all can do is go over there, go on SoundCloud, record y'all beat, and just email it. You ain't had to go over, travel from state to state. On for the big time, and just throw your demo or throw your album in the trash.
Man. I mean, this is a good era for, you know, networking, though. The internet era just makes life easier. You can throw it to them. I mean, that's, you know, that's how I found Frazier Boy on this internet.
And the internet has became the new way of discovering new artists too, which is a beautiful thing as well. And you know, we're familiar with the slogan now that you got to pretty much dig for new artists instead of having radio supply them. And that's a good thing now, because there's a lot of hungry new talent out there, especially coming out of the old town and coming out of the south now, and the sounds is evolving. It's just a matter of them getting that push or that cosign.
Right, that's all it needs. Some artists just need that little cosign to say, hey, you're going to be the next one. And I hear a whole bunch of people that I wish I had the clout to really like throw them out there like that.
More like the stamp.
Yeah.
And this one,
like,
question
I'll be hearing from
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to shoot you this one too. Like, how much of importance is having a good networking attitude versus having actual talent, because networking pretty much get a lot of people in the door. And we've seen a lot of people that had talent, but their networking skills wasn't up to par. So can you tell us the importance of having good networking skills in this industry?
Networking is crucial. I mean, you know, you can always, I'm not saying you can fake it till you make it, because, you know, I tried that with Columbia Records. I said, oh yeah, I'm a big time guy and stuff like that. And then I went there, this is before I actually knew how to work equipment and stuff. He was like, all right, man, just step on the keys and do your thing. I'm like, I was sitting there stuck, the networking, my networking was hard. It got me there. It got me through the door for a second. But, you know, they kicked me out. That was a lesson learned. You know, I knew how to get back. I need to get the skills. But there's a whole bunch of people who got like all the skill in the world, but you know, they arrogant, or they, you know what I'm saying, they like to burn bridges and they cocky. They don't want to network or something like that. Like, if it ain't their way, it's no way. I'm like, yo, you ain't going nowhere.
It's also a matter of, at the end of the day, it's all about sometimes somewhat compromising, because everybody compromises at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not about what you know, it's about what also fails as well. And I remember when Dr. Dre, he said that you can tell within the first 10 seconds of listening to a track that you know is going to be a smash record. Now, is that true, or having that type of producer's ear?
I think sometimes nowadays, I listen to it for a little bit more, because you don't know what the feel of the whole track is. It might throw you off, might surprise you.
That's true. That's very true, because that just shows you the type of gift that the producer hears. Like, sometimes it could just be the melody or the hook that could just grab you off the gate. That's where sometimes the best hook or the best hook master could come in and just, you know, draw the audience.
Right. Like, say, you're not feeling that. Like, I'm not totally feeling this beat, but the hook was jumping. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I guess that could make or break you, for real.
And people don't understand what producing really means. It don't mean just beat making. Like, it means just being the mastermind behind picking certain sounds and making them mesh together.
Exactly. People always, you know, they get that confused. I'm like, I'll produce this. I'm like, you produce the whole song or just the beat? I just got the beat. Oh, then you're the beat maker. You're not,
exactly.
You're not the guy who's making the whole song make it sound good or nothing.
Exactly.
That's what
and I'm glad you brought that up.
Because I can admit I was just the beat maker on something, you know, some stuff. You know, which is it ain't a bad thing. You're not the producer. You're not the man in charge. You just made the beat.
That's all it is, because, I mean, the beat maker is needed as well, because that's just like the fruits that the producer need in the vegetables.
Right. You know, you're very valued asset to the song. I mean, you know, you're not the name, you're not the overall part of the song.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just like 25-30% of the song, pretty much. You see what the producer does. He also brings the artists. He brings with the drummers and all that. In other words, there's levels to this.
Yep.
there's definitely levels to all this, man. So y'all getting a good lesson and learning the difference between beat making and producing. Now, you know, we going on 2021 right now. Is there anybody in particular that you wish to work with in the near future that you haven't worked with yet?
There's a whole bunch of people I definitely want to work with. But, you know, as a you know, overall, I always wanted to work with Juicy J. Just, you know, saying, make one hit with him. Now, that, you know, saying, be like, you know, a goal, a lifetime goal of mine has been achieved.
Oh, that's going to be some slap right there. And, you know, it goes to show you right there with the success that, you know, DJ Paul and Juicy J, they still doing it, that age shouldn't really matter in hip-hop.
Right. Yeah, that's what kills me, too. Like, people like, man, you 40, you still trying to rap? I'm like, yeah, shoot, there's, you know, in all other genres, you know what I'm saying, there's a whole bunch of old people that just started, and what's the problem? You think rap is a young person's game? I think it's anybody's game. You can, you know what I'm saying, depending on what you're talking about. Of course, you don't want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, being ratchet and all that stuff. You can, at that age, I'm like, you're too old to be going out and hitting and shooting out with people and stuff.
I think it should matter only if it's I think it should matter only if it's, if that person is elevating the culture. Because, see, keep in mind, if you look at the 80s, it elevated to new levels. In the 90s, it elevated to the next level. That's where it should, I could say that it could stay a young man's sport, but if they're de-elevating it, y'all got to sit on the bench. The old timers got to come back out there.
Yeah, definitely can dig that, though. But yeah, overall, to me, it's never too late.
Not at all. Not at all. If anything, the Renaissance, for that matter, most of the nicest rappers are in their 30s and 40s.
Exactly. Like, we don't really get no rappers that you know, like, too many good conscious rappers, like, you know, Lupe or, you know, Kendrick Lamar or something like that. Someone that, like, changed the pace of the rap game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I would love to hear some more influential rappers.
Now, I wanted to shoot this to you. Now, why do you think that is? Because if you really listen to a lot of these guys that, you know, make the quote-unquote mumble rap or, you know, as many people would say, terrible rap, they're actually intelligent guys. If you really sit down and, you know, listen to a lot of the interviews, but what do you think is the reason why they're scared to really talk about what's really real?
I think they feel that they're going to lose their audience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Most young people don't want to hear that. They want to hear about, you know, flossing or, you know what I'm saying, we're going to get this dude, we're going to kill this nigga, or what's got happening in the club or something.
Right. Right, so they feel that they don't want to lose that core audience.
Right.
And you know what? It's also go ahead.
No, so which is sad because, you know, I feel, you know, there's definitely a venue, you know, an avenue for a different style of rap. Someone, you know, something is missing in the game right now, and
mm-hmm.
we need to find it.
Especially with the way the world is shaping right now, if anything, that type of music is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows a reflection of how antiquated a lot of the culture really is, because it's like, damn, we had World War, within 2020 alone, that should have been a nothing but straight up militant fire albums coming out. Like, we should have had more Public Enemies and Ice Cube coming out of 2020 based on everything that happened then.
Right. People had nothing
they
but time.
Ain't feel like especially last year, because everybody's on lockdown. I'm like, how you make it turn up music and y'all on lockdown?
Right. I'm like, man, we can't turn up. Why y'all making this music? We should be, you know, talking about stuff that's going on. Like, why are we being locked down? What's the reason? What do you think?
And to me, that's where I feel that the voices kind of got lost, because it used to be a mirror of what happened. Just like I remember back in 92 with the Rodney King riots. Most of the rappers, for the most part, was on it. They was giving the commentary for their point of view. They didn't care what middle America thought. We were speaking our voices. I think somewhere down the line, now these people today are catering to different mainstream audiences, and they bringing the bigger bag. With the bigger bag came sacrificing of the arts.
Like, I mean, people are scared. They're scared to lose that bag, so they definitely ain't trying nothing.
Y'all niggas ain't messing my bag.
I can dig it. I can feel it though. I feel if I can make my millions, you know, or however I want, live comfortably, then I will try to do something.
Right. I mean, you got to give, especially when these guys come from those neighborhoods, it's like, damn, those at least the people are bone or something. Like, try to be diverse with this. Like, you can, who turn it up and shoot in 24 hours?
Right.
Like, the way these guys, they come in with the, even with the aggressive energy on in the morning time. It used to be morning time where you could just make, that makes you feel good records like that. People trying to go to school, get their mind right. They come in with shoot 'em up bang in the early part of the morning. Like, damn. Crazy.
Hey, man, I don't have that type of energy right now.
Nah, man. We just trying to get to point A to point B for, you know, to get through the day.
Right.
Straight up, man. But nevertheless, man, we about to wind down, and we got about 3 more minutes to spare. It's fun. It's been fun chopping it up with you, man. Do you have any shout-outs you want to give out personally?
Oh, I'd like to give a shout-out to, man, my mom for creating me. Everybody in Dayton, Ohio, you know, we all talented people. We trying to make it out, and I hope everybody makes it. So I'd like to give out shout out to my label, you know, Nephilim Music. Got Scam Man, got Mob Boss Hussein, that's Rizzy, my nigga Dave Sinatra. Shout out to everybody, you know, that mess with me. Shout out to Praise Boy, MC Mac, M Child. Everybody, Memphis, Tennessee. L.A., California. If I miss anybody, you know, say the same. Right. If I miss anybody, yell at me at the end of the day. Just let me know.
There you have it right there, man. My man, S. Fresh. Go cop it. And where can people follow you on social media?
You can find me on Facebook. Just you can look up SFresh937. Have me there. Same thing with Instagram, SFresh937. Twitter, SFresh937. I'm working on my YouTube again, you know. But I think that's about all I have. That's the main ones I really got a networking venue with.
Oh, Steph, my brother. And we want to thank you on the behalf of Off the Cuff Radio for you taking the time to chop it up with us. We got some great insight talking about what goes on behind the boards of producing and beat making. And we just leveled up on a lot of good game, man. You're definitely welcome to come aboard. Anytime you have something to promote or you just want to chop it up, man, we definitely welcome.
So, definitely take you up on it.
Definitely, man. We're going to stay in touch, bro.
All right,
man. All right, be safe, man. A big shout-out to Deep Groove Entertainment, man, for putting this movement together, man. We're going to keep this thing working.
So.
Holla.